I always find that this Sunday of Palm Sunday can be one of the most jarring and almost shocking liturgies of the year. I think it's perhaps because it moves so quickly. You know, we start with one of the beautiful celebrations in the church where we wave our palm branches and commemorate that day that Jesus triumphantly enters in Jerusalem. He is proclaimed king, and although they tried to proclaim him king many times before, today Jesus allows the acclamation. He allows people to say, "Hail, King of the Jews! Hosanna! Save us, Yahweh!" They are making him king and God, and Jesus allows it here. It's a great moment of celebration for apostles like Simon the Zealot and many others who would have been expecting the Messiah to be someone who would overthrow the Romans, restore the rule of a Davidic king. This was a moment that they could get behind. This is the kind of Messiah they were looking for. A triumphant ruler who marches right into the gate of the temple area that was reserved for the Messiah. Jesus fulfills finally this image of a conquering ruler, except he rides in on a colt. Now, if we know our scriptures, this is how the Messiah was supposed to enter, meek and humble, acclaimed by the little children. How beautiful that we have in our procession tonight, the little children innocently carrying their palm branches. It's all so wonderful. It's exactly the way we think Jesus should be welcomed. And yet the jarring, off-putting part of this liturgy is that just a few moments later, we're hearing, my God, why have you abandoned me?" The very words of Jesus on the cross, taken from the Psalms, we see Jesus betrayed and handed over. And in the matter of just a few moments, we go from Hosanna to crucify him, and Jesus is dead and in the tomb, and Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joses, are there looking on in shock. It's all so quick. And you know, it took place over the course of an entire week in history. We commemorate Jesus's Palm Sunday entrance today, but of course we know historically it took an entire week for these events to unfold. So I think that's perhaps why the Palm Sunday liturgy is always so jarring. We're not meant to experience just this liturgy. It's beautiful. Today is kind of an overview of Holy Week, a preview of things to come. This is just the start of this week, the most holy week of the year. So holy, we simply call it Holy Week. These events are meant to be now unpacked over the next couple days and experienced over the course of the week. The church, in her wisdom, has created various liturgies then over the course of the next week to help us experience this event in a more drawn out unfolding. And as a beautiful way of commemorating these events, we actually relive this week as Jesus would have relived it. So we go through the evening mass of the Lord's Supper. We know that Jesus on that night went to the upper room and instituted the Eucharist and the priesthood. And so this week we celebrate the priesthood and its institution and the Eucharist. And we too gather Thursday night for the beautiful family meal, the fulfillment of the Passover in the upper room, to celebrate the Eucharist, remembering that night the way Jesus did 2,000 years ago when he first took bread and wine and said, "This is my body, this is my blood." Just as Jesus did 2,000 years ago, so we will gather Thursday night and celebrate that beautiful Last Supper meal as we celebrate it new in the new covenant. And then on Friday, much of what we just read in the Passion, we live out more profoundly as perhaps we keep those 3 hours from noon to three as a solemn commemoration of the time Jesus was on the cross. I invite you to try to be present that day at one of the two times that we have the celebration of the Lord's Passion. It's one of the only 2 days of the year when we don't celebrate the Mass. Instead, we solemnly commemorate the day that Jesus died for us. So there is a solemn celebration of the liturgy where we venerate the cross. We receive communion even though there's no Mass. Try to be present for that station of the liturgy as well. And even if you can't, to try to find some time on Friday to make that day holy, that it won't be just like any other day. Of course, it is a day of fasting and abstinence, according to the laws of the church, but we're meant to live it much more than that. Finally, I'd invite you, especially if you've never been, to attend the solemn vigil of Easter on Saturday night at 8:15. This is the most important liturgy of the whole church year. It is the Easter liturgy. It would have been the only Easter liturgy that the early Christians would have known. On this night when Jesus passes from death to life, the church gathers throughout the world to tell the story of creation history, to go back to the beginning in Genesis, and now in the light of Jesus risen from the dead, look at all the ways God had prepared for that, how he prefigured baptism and the new Catholics who will be baptized on that night. We too, throughout the world, gather as the church to join in the darkness of the night to welcome the coming of the light of the resurrection. It is the most beautiful, most powerful liturgy of the entire year. I invite you to be present for that. And as is often the case, people that come to the vigil then come back on Easter Sunday morning to welcome the Lord's resurrection in the light of a new Easter day. It's a little slower this way. We have more time than we do today to unpack it. I invite you, especially if you maybe don't understand some of these liturgies, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, maybe you've never been to one or all of them. That's often the case. So on Monday night at 7 o'clock here in the church, I'm going to give a special presentation to go even more in depth into this liturgy of Holy Week. I was just with the RCIA this morning on their retreat, and I told them, you know, now that you've figured out when to stand and kneel and, you know, difficult things for non-Catholics, they finally have it down. I told them, now we're going to change everything. And for the 3 days of the Triduum, we do things we only do once a year. And it's not just the neophytes, our catechumens, who will be confused. I think all of us might be confused sometimes because there are things we only do once a year. So plan to come Monday night at 7 o'clock here in the church. I'm going to give a talk to explain, but also inspire us to really pray well through these days. They are filled with grace, but we need to understand them, to appreciate it. So plan to come Monday at 7 here in the church and bring people with you from other parishes so that we can really pray well through this week. It is the most important week of the whole year. And even if perhaps you can't be present for any of the liturgies, make sure this week is not just any other week for you. Try to spend some time with the scriptures at least. If you can't be at the vigil, pray through those beautiful readings from the vigil. Try to spend some time Thursday remembering what Jesus was doing. And the beauty of this week, I pray that it might be a time of refreshment for you and your families, that just as we triumphantly carry our palm branches today, let's walk the rest of the way of Jesus this Holy Week. Let's go with him to the upper room Thursday night. Let's especially watch with him on the cross on Good Friday. Let's wait at the tomb on Saturday. And especially let's gather Saturday night to welcome the resurrection of Jesus. We relive these events this week, but not in a way as if we don't know what's going to happen. We know what's going to happen. So I pray that this time next week, as we gather for the joy of Easter, that you will have participated well this week, be refreshed by the church's liturgy, and especially with your families, to reach a new joy. If you haven't had a chance to get to confession yet, do that this week too. This way you'll be fully prepared as we journey now through the most holy week of the year, a week so great we simply call it Holy Week.